This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, you are almost there. You can smell the end of the week. Keep your head down and keep on moving, all right? Here's what we have on tap for tonight's show. Carol Markowitz is actually going to join us about 30 minutes from now. I don't remember what we're talking to her about, but I bet it'll be very interesting. We're going to do a little recap on all that Trump FBI stuff. I'll read your feedback from last night. I think that'll probably be helpful. We're going to talk about why punishment itself is important, illegal immigration. I have a story about God saving me and my family from disaster, and I'll explain why I'm not wearing underwear today. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here, though. Every now and then, depending on the topic, you never know what, you know, how people are going to receive whatever it is you say. Every now and then you say something and it really just takes off in a million different ways. Love, hate, whatever it may be. And last night, I pretty much dedicated the entire first hour of the show to talking about the FBI and talking about Trump's social media post about, hey, the new FBI building should be in D.C. instead of saying no FBI at all. You know, and I was just going over all that last night. If you missed it, go download the podcast of the show, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I'm not going to rehash it all again. I spent an hour covering the FBI and everything last night. And we had all kinds of emails in about it. Boy, did that set up everything on fire. And they were great. I mean, there were some people who were very angry, obviously, but for the most part, well, here's a little sampling. I'm going to read a few, and I'm going to just, I feel like it warrants a response to a few of these things, because I picked some out that were consistent themes. Hey, Jesse, maybe it's my paranoia, but after everything, is it possible Trump is on the other team? Yes, he's on trial, but in the grand scheme of things, what has actually happened to him? I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I know a lot of people hate Trump, and I've heard that a lot, especially in the last 24 hours. Trump's on the other team now. He plays them now. That's not what I believe. That's not what I believe. I do not believe Trump is some secret Democrat. Absolutely not. I do not believe that. What I believe is this. Trump is he's a billionaire and the former president, but he's got a disastrous reputation because of what the system did to him. Now, let's say you're Donald Trump and you've spent your entire life building your brand. That's what he does. He brands, and he's very, very good at it. Trump Tower, Trump golf courses, Trump this, Apprentice. Everyone knew Trump before he was a presidential candidate. And then you decide to run for president. See some things that are wrong with the country, and you weren't even supposed to win. And remember, we know this now from behind-the-scenes stuff. Trump himself didn't think he was going to win, especially towards the end. None of the polls looked like he was going to win. But you wake up one day after the election and you are the president of the United States of America. Tell me, how would that feel? Feel pretty good, right? You have this whole life of branding and the Trump thing, and then one day you're president of the United States of America. And you go into that job, and we don't have to rehash everything that happened there, the good and the bad and everything else, but you get your reputation destroyed by the system. Trump was widely respected and accepted by the system, before he started running for president. Go watch. You don't believe me? My wife and I used to watch it all the time together. Celebrity Apprentice. Go back. It didn't matter who it was. Athlete, movie star, supermodel, billionaire. It didn't matter who it was. It was Mr. Trump this and Mr. Trump that. And he's Donald Trump. He walks in a room and everyone's, wow, it's Trump. And now he walks in a room. And unless he's at UFC or NASCAR, everyone's spitting at him and screaming at him. And then you've got the legal problems, and he's got up for felonies, and he's facing possible prison time, although by the grace of God, it looks like he's going to avoid that. And what we want may not necessarily 100% align with what I believe Trump wants. I believe Trump wants to fix the country. I do. I believe Trump wants to fix the border, fix the country, fix the trade, fix the, all this. But I don't necessarily think he wants to attack the system that I believe needs attacked. The system itself is evil. I think probably more than anything, I do not think he's working for the other team. Still shares a lot of your values. I don't believe that. I believe he wants acceptance from the system more than he wants to destroy the system. It doesn't mean he's a secret Democrat. I don't believe that. You can hate Trump and not believe that. You're welcome to believe whatever you want to believe. I don't believe that at all. Jesse, I'm listening to the radio right now. I thought about the strategy he might be implementing. Hear me out. He talks about supporting and funding the buildings leading up to the election so they don't target him more than they already have, and also ensure the FBI doesn't suicide him. But then he wins. He writes an executive order to dismantle the FBI and defund every penny, and so on and so forth. It's not 3D chess. It's misdirection and self-preservation. His name's Nathan. Donald Trump cannot disband the FBI by executive order. He very likely doesn't have the authority as president to even fire most people at the FBI. And you expect me to believe that he's just playing nice with them now until he gets the chance to completely eliminate the agency? No. Hey, I agree with you, Stretch, but first things first, Trump needs to get reelected. As you point out all the time, he needs Norm and Norma to vote for him, and those idiots still believe the FBI is legitimate. So if he needs to feign support between now and November, I say do it. That's a valid criticism. It's a valid criticism. I might push back on that Norm and Norm, that the average American does not actually think highly of the FBI like they used to. They pull worse than Congress now. But it's a very valid argument. Jesse, your lead into tonight's show was awesome. You expressed how I and many others feel. I'm done. As 28-year law enforcement, I can tell you most of us in local and county law enforcement do not trust the FBI. Gosh, yeah, you want to hear about the FBI? Talk to a cop or a county sheriff. All right. Now, let me do this. Let me finish with this one. Dear multilingual menu whisperer, and he talked about the rant, I went on, whatever. Anyway, all this got me thinking. Is this him bending the knee, signaling that he'll pull a Mike Johnson and do as he's told? I agree with you. If all we're going to get from him is a slightly less horrific version of the DNC, then count me out. I'll stay home. I appreciate all you do. You've been in my prayers after Michael ate both your tacos. That's from Chris. Chris, thank you for your prayers. I'm still struggling with the whole taco thing and Michael's devious theft, but we'll go over that at another time. Now, is this him bending the knee? Maybe. Now, I don't mean it in that way, in that extreme of a way. Maybe this is him saying, hey, my second presidency, if I'm given one, maybe this is him telling the deep state that, hey, it's going to be more normal, so don't attack me quite so much. I'll be nicer to you. You be nicer to me. Could it be that? It most definitely could be that. I would argue that's probably a fool's errand. That most likely is a fool's errand because these evil agencies, they're not evil on an individual level. They're evil on an institutional level. And here's what I mean when I say that. When you have an organization like the FBI, it's not that there's a guy at the FBI who's bad and who has it out for Trump. If you look at the history of what they've done to him, that's not what it looks like at all. The names change, the tactics, the enemy of the FBI remains the same. It's not a Christopher Ray problem. Don't get me wrong. Christopher Ray is a huge problem. We need a real reformer in the FBI, someone from outside of D.C. I've always believed we needed some county sheriff who has a reputation for cleaning up corruption in his community, so on and so forth. Anyway, it's not that. But the organization itself, in fact, our system, I've made it about the FBI. Well, let's talk about the entire system because that's really what we're talking about. Media, universities, it does, FBI, it doesn't matter what it is. The system has been completely occupied and taken over by leftists, by communists. And since they've done that, what they've done is they've institutionalized their way of thinking, their religion. They've essentially insulated themselves from any individual deviating from that. So let's say we got that county sheriff I just talked about, and you got Sheriff whoever from someplace. Sheriff, we'll call him Sheriff Kelly. He sounds like a wonderful guy. And he's going to go in there and he's going to change things. Well, he still has a mountain to climb because he may be, quote, in charge, but the institution is going a different direction. All right, that's enough of that. Let's talk about crime and punishment, shall we? Whole lot of revisionist history going on out there. In fact, this is going to tie into what Biden pulled with the munitions and the law and the everything. Let's have a discussion about that before we get to Cuomo and other things. But first, let's get to the financial situation we are in. The financial situation we're in right now is obviously bad. And as you've heard, you know, look, these politicians all talk about it all the time. It's going to get worse because they don't want to stop spending. They don't want to stop printing. There's no one even pretending like that's what they're going to do. Even Republicans aren't acting like that. Hey, if we take power, we'll cut the spending. You don't even hear much of that anymore. They know. Everyone knows. So what can normal people do? Normal people have to make preparations. That's what normal people do. Oxford Gold Group is about normal people preparing for a financial future that might be rocky. It's not about going crazy. Get some gold or silver in your hands. Get it in your retirement account. And just know that Oxford Gold Group makes it easy. Really, really easy. All right? 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call. 833-995-GOLD.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I almost forgot. I need to remind you, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now. Whatever. Ask me anything. All 3 hours are dedicated to the questions you email in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right? jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I should probably explain before we go any deeper into the show, before I get to this reckoning stuff and punishment and why it's important, why I'm not wearing any underwear today. I should be clear that I am an underwear wearer. It's boxer shorts. It's just Hanes, whatever's on sale at the time. It's whatever I happen to grab that's on sale and comfortable. I wear Hanes boxer shorts. Probably more information than you need, but just that's what I wear. The wife wishes I would up my underwear game, but that's what I'm comfortable with. What, Chris? Anyway, so I told you we've been having some constructions. We've had the house ripped up a little bit. It's a long story. But just know that when I shower before I come into the studio, sometimes the workers are already there. And if they're there, they've sealed off the area in the home where I have clean boxers. So yesterday, look, it's just you, just me being honest with you. It's just you and me talking. Yesterday, I get out of the shower and I realize I don't have clean boxers. I'm looking down at the pair I had on yesterday and I'm thinking to myself, oh man, that's really gross. I don't want to do that too. Okay, you know what? I will. I'll do it 2 days in a row. So I do it. But because I'm stupid, I made the same exact mistake today. I got up, worked out, cup of coffee, workers showed up, tearing apart the house. I go get in the shower. I get out of the shower. As soon as I'm toweling off, I realize no boxers. And I'm looking at the ones I wore the past 2 days, and I know I can't do it. I have my limits. I can't do it.
So today,
you know, freedom is not free.
I've never been more free. All right. What, Chris? I'm just explaining to everyone where I'm at mentally right now. Today, I am the freest you've ever heard me on the radio. Do I sound loose, carefree? I am. Not a care in the world right now. Anyway, let's get back to politics and other things. Punishment. Punishment's important. I wish it wasn't important. I'll tell you, as a father, I really, really wish it wasn't important. I got this email. Dear Jesse Bomb Iran Kelly. I didn't say Bomb Iran. If memory serves me, didn't then VP Biden brag on tape that he threatened to withhold approved aid to Ukraine unless the top prosecutor investigating Burisma and his son was fired? Consequences by the Republican House? None that I recall. And didn't Biden just now brag on tape that he will withhold approved military aid from Israel unless he and his flunky, traitorous, backstabbing administration is allowed to run the war on Hamas from D.C.? What will the consequences be by the Republican House? None, I guarantee it. Well, in case you're wondering, yes, Joe Biden did say exactly this.
Press conference said, no, I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours. I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a.
And the prosecutor got fired. Joe Biden admitting to quid pro quo corruption. And Donald Trump was impeached the first time by simply asking someone to look into that corruption. But you're not wrong. And so why is there no impeachment now of Joe Biden? You can't have Congress pass a law. Congress makes the laws. The president executes the laws. Congress passed a law, as much as I didn't want him to pass the law, this big foreign aid bill, money for everybody. And part of the law was you have to send all these munitions over to Israel. It's the law. And Joe Biden, the Biden administration, so desperate to hold together their domestic voting coalition, said, no, you don't get the, you don't, we're not going to send the stuff that we were ordered by Congress to send. Is it impeachable? Yes. But why did they do it then? If it's so wrong, if it's so impeachable? Well, you know why they did it. I know why they did it. They did it because they know Republicans won't impeach. We want to believe, nursery rhyme conservatism has taught us over the years that we can just do the right thing, and in the end, the right thing will end up inspiring the other side to do the right thing, and so everything will turn out right. It's a big tenet, it's a central tenet of nursery rhyme conservatism. I won't ever do anything to hurt the other side. I'll do it better. I'll do it the air fingers quote right way. And then the other side will be so inspired by my example, they won't want to do wrong. They'll stop doing wrong. After all, I pointed out their hypocrisy. Wait, why are they still doing it? I just pointed out their hypocrisy. Wait, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And the truth is this. It's not even necessarily a left, right, Democrat, Republican, commie, anti-commie thing. It's a human nature thing. And it's a part of human nature that I actually can't stand. I hate that it is our nature. It's my nature. It's your nature. We need punishment. I'm about to go off on punishment and reckoning and things that we should do, not because we're mean, not because we're angry, not because we're violent, not because we're this or that, because we want things to be good. I'll explain what I mean in a moment. You know what's good? Not living with pain every day. That's good. Can you imagine how much relief factor Joe Biden must need? Have you seen Joe Biden walk? With that, everything hurts in my joints kind of R2-D2 gait he has. No, C-3PO was that, the robot. What was the robot? The golden one. It was C-3PO, right, Michael? Anyway, relief factor will help you handle that pain. You know that, right? It helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. We We reach for pill bottles. We reach for big pharma crap whenever we need some relief. Relief Factor was created so we can stop destroying our body. You have pains, you have aches in your neck and your muscles and your joints. Get a hold of Relief Factor and get some relief from it. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Let's talk about punishment next.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Joining me now, former New Yorker, now a Floridian, columnist with the New York Post, also host of the Carol Markowitz Show. You guessed it, Carol Markowitz. Carol, that was a great song. Your husband must have picked that out.
Hey, I love me some Stevie Nicks.
Okay. All right. I love Fleetwood Mac. I really, really do. Gosh, that's the best old people music in the world. I consider myself that. Okay. Carol, we've been talking about punishment and things like that, and you've been going off lately on a lot of things about indoctrination and children.
Yeah.
And people are, anyone who watches the news right now, they're looking at college campuses and they're asking themselves, what in the world is going on with young people?
Right.
And, you know, these are young people at Columbia. These are supposed to be the top tier, and they're a bunch of dirt balls. What went wrong?
Well, a lot of things went wrong, but I would say that I'm with you in that the Republicans caused a lot of this by not fighting back, and we can't keep doing that. And that's been like a message that I feel like you've been amazing at. I mean, you know, I don't give you that much praise, but you've been fantastic at pushing the Republicans to actually, you know, maybe fight back sometimes. I think what happened is we let the leftists march through our institutions, take over all of our education, among many other things, obviously, and that has caused the problems that we're seeing on these college campuses now. It didn't start at colleges. It's happening in K-12 schools. It's happening earlier than that. It's happening in nursery, in daycare. I mean, all the places that you send your children, there's a very good possibility that they're being indoctrinated there.
Carol, can you explain to people who don't understand, I mean, especially for older people, I'll be honest, I'm lumping myself in there. It seems like this has happened, and I know it hasn't, I know the history of it, but it seems like it happened so fast that, like you just said, okay, university being some lefty place is not exactly new, but you can't put your kids in kindergarten now without walking through the classroom and making sure there's not a gay flag hanging in the daggone thing. Why?
Well, it's been going on for a while, but you have to know the cultural revolutions take a while. They don't tend to happen overnight. They tend to happen incrementally. And so what has been happening incrementally is that they took over things like colleges a long time ago. We've been ha-ha-haing about, you know, how lefty colleges are for a long time. What happened then is once they were secure in that, they moved on to other areas. And so, you know, I had a book last year, Stolen Youth, largely about this topic. And one of the things that we really uncovered is how deep the rot goes, for example, in teachers' colleges. A lot of teachers get to teachers' colleges to get their degree to teach children, and they themselves get indoctrinated at that point. It's not that they arrive there being leftists. They get taught from Marxist textbooks, and they leave there ready to spread the message to kids all over the country.
Carol, you know, obviously, as you pointed out, I'm very, very hard on the GOP, frankly, harder on them than the communists, because I demand better. I want someone to fight there. Why
the reluctance to ever attack the root of the problem from the GOP. For instance, recently they passed an anti-Semitism bill on college campus.
Right.
Well, these protests are organized and funded. There is a gigantic international, in many cases, communist organization funding and organizing all these street animals on college campuses. And the best you can get from a GOP is some bill about anti-Semitism. Why not go after the root of the problem? It drives me insane.
Well, partly it's because they want to be liked and they want to have positive articles written about them. And that's the truth. You know, a lot of these people are just happy to be there. And all they want is to have praise from hopefully once in a while, the New York Times. And you're right. That bill was stupid. It was pointless. And, you know, it probably will cause more damage than good. I am very concerned about anti-Semitism on college campuses and, you know, just anti-Semitism elsewhere as well. But I don't think that that does any good to solve it. And so we have the situation where they do these things, get applause from people who hate them. And we're in this vicious cycle with them where they can't seem to understand that they don't work for the New York Times and they don't work for the Washington Post. And they have to get over that.
Carol, you and I have spoken many times on the air. You, me, and Ob, my wife, has spoken many times off the air personally. So we've had this conversation before. But the United States of America as a whole, as much as I love it and would die for it, I don't think, from what I see now, that we can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I don't necessarily see a path for that. Maybe if we go legal, local, and spread it from there, we have a shot. But if we do, if you believe we do, what's that look like? How does that come about?
Well, I think what ends up happening is, you know, you mentioned at the start of the show, I moved from New York to Florida. I think a lot of people are moving to saner places. And I think that that message can spread outward. I think that's the only way to do it, to see, look, this is what's happening in Florida. I know Texas, you know, maybe Tennessee, some other states are real draws for people. And they can have that kind of be exported outward. I mean, that's what the left would do, right? They would export their philosophies outward. They would say, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to teach people in other places to behave and follow our guidelines.
Speaking with Carol Markowitz, host of the Carol Markowitz Show, and of course, columnist for the New York Post. I hope you don't get fired because of that, Carol. Carol, what's the worst thing about moving from New York City to Florida? I bet it's the food, isn't it? The food. It's got to be the food.
Well, I would say it's specifically the Asian food. Chinese food is so good in New York City. You know, it comes to your door before you hang up the phone from ordering it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful cuisine. And we just don't have that here. But everything else, I feel like I'm pretty good. I miss my family. I wish they would make the move too. But otherwise, this is the best thing I've ever done. I feel like a genius every day. Especially now, more than ever. We didn't move because, you know, we saw Jew hatred exploding on the streets of New York City, although I had some predictions on that. But, you know, it's been a benefit not to be among that.
Why did you have predictions on that? What did you see when you were living there?
Well, the main thing I saw was that Orthodox Jews, people who looked Jewish outwardly, which I don't, I look like maybe a little Irish girl, that they were being beat up in the streets and nobody was saying anything. And the reason they weren't saying anything is because the culprits weren't MAGA hat wearing, you know, the people that they hoped it would be. So when they were being beat up, I said to my family, Thanksgiving 2021, I said, things are going to get bad for Jews in New York and I think we should all get out. And, you know, we got out and that proved to be correct. And that's, you know, sad and unfortunate, but I hate being right about something like that, but it was so clearly coming.
Carol, why are we so uncomfortable in this country talking about cultural tensions that have always and will always exist? I mean, that's part of mankind. Cultures have tensions with each other in New York City. I mean, I'll say it if you don't feel like saying it. The Black community and the Jewish community, they've had serious tensions for decades. This isn't anything new. It goes back to the 70s. This is a tale as old as time. And yet no one wants to have that simple conversation. That's a conversation you can have. What is it? Are we too sensitive for that now?
Yeah, we're probably too sensitive for it. But I also think that, for every conversation that's attempted like that, there's going to be people who are saying, like, no, you're the one making it worse. You're the one discussing it makes it worse. And I think that that's ridiculous. I think, had it been MAGA hat wearing white people beating up Jews for a number of years in New York City, daily attacks, they would have had that conversation. You're just not allowed to talk about some groups and other groups. And that's, a problem. And you're absolutely right. There are tensions, and those tensions largely make no sense, but that's, you know, what happens a lot of the time in all kinds of cultural disputes. So things make no sense. Maybe you get to the bottom of it, maybe you don't.
Yeah, no, every time I try to dig into these things, you end up with some spider web, and no one can really lay out why. It's like the Hatfields and McCoys. No one can even remember how the friggin' thing started. You just remember you hate each other. Carol Markowitz, go listen to her podcast. It's outstanding. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate you as always. That's something, right? All right, now let's get back to this punishment thing I was talking about. Why it's important. Why does it matter? We're talking about Biden and he's going to disobey the law. And why isn't he being impeached? Before we get to that, let's talk about life. You know, it's one thing to say you're pro-life. You don't vote for abortion-loving politicians and all that stuff. And all that stuff is good. We need to be like that. But what are we doing to actually save lives? What saves lives is ultrasound. Ultrasound saves babies' lives. These young women, they don't know better. They've been told it's a clump of cells, it's an inconvenience, just go flush it down the toilet, just go. They don't know better. What ultrasound does, that's what preborn does. They give these women free ultrasounds, the women who are about to have abortions. What ultrasound does is it turns it into a baby. It reveals it to be a baby, and she becomes a mother. When she hears the heartbeat, it is from God. She becomes a mom. And that she knows it in that moment. Save a life. $28 buys that ultrasound. Go to preborn.com/Jesse. Give what you can. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, you have to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. You have to email them right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Full disclosure, we have a couple big things coming next hour. I'll get back to the punishment thing in a moment. One, there's been a major, major rift between me and Clay and Buck. Apparently, this is going to be war. So we're going to go over that about 10 minutes from now. Chris, I don't have time to get into it right now. It's too heated. I'm working it all out, but I'm going to go into that about 10 minutes from now. So we'll talk about that. I'm going to tell you a little story about moving and answered prayers and many things. But before we get to those, let's come back to punishment. We need it. I wish we human beings didn't need it, but we do. I've gone through this as a father of my sons. If I catch them up at night when they're not supposed to be, I'd be honest, I think it's funny, and I don't want to yell at them, especially for the last thing of the day. So I tell them, boys, that's it. That's the last time. Go to bed. You know, go to bed. And I do it, and I do it, and I do it, and I keep catching them up. I have to ground them if I want it to actually stop. Human beings need it. We talk about Joe Biden withholding munitions that have been passed by Congress. How can he do that? Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he do that? The GOP has never held these people to account. He thinks dad's going to come in and just laugh again because he's up after hours. Why? Because that's all dad has ever done. Here's another example, another email. Jesse, I'm confounded. Every time the government is questioned, they always reply, that's an ongoing investigation. You've heard me rant about this before on the show, but allow me to do it again. We knew, I told you before the midterm elections, we all thought the GOP was going to take the House. We all thought, myself definitely thought, that it'd be a bigger majority, but we knew the GOP would have the House. And I said before the midterms, we talked about this all the time, that we have to have Congress hold the FBI accountable. You must have it. There's no one else who can hold the FBI accountable. Frankly, even the president really can't. We need Congress to hold the FBI accountable. We have to have that. So we know how it's going to go. After the GOP takes the House, and they did, they're going to drag these dirty FBI people, Christopher Wray and the rest of them, in front of the House, and they have, and they're going to ask them very tough questions
pointing out, hoping to point out, the endless malfeasance that goes on within the walls of the Hoover Building. We know how they're going to answer, because they answer it that way every single time. I'm sorry, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. How many times have you heard them answer that? We all knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. I told you it was coming on the radio before we even took back the house. What I said then and what I'll say now is the only question that matters, all the rest of that's a foregone conclusion. The only question after that is, what are you prepared to do when they give you that answer? Well, what is the date today? May 9th, 2024. When did the GOP take back the House? January of 2022. That's when the GOP Congress was sworn in. It's May of 2024. Name me one thing, tangible thing, the GOP has done to punish the FBI for answering questions like that. Oh, that's right, Chris. That's right. That's a good point. They fully funded them. The GOP nominee for president's promising a new headquarters, and they funded, Congress already funded that. Before Trump promised to build it in D.C., the Congress already funded it. They're the real bad guys in the whole thing, too. They not only have they not punished them, they built them. They put in the money into the budget, building the organization that is attacking America, building them a brand new building. So why wouldn't they answer questions that way? Frankly, if you're one of the dirty commies at the FBI and you answer those questions any other way, you're a fool. Because Dad has come in the room already 1,000 times. Sorry about that. 1,000 times snickering, telling you it's no big deal, half laughing while he told you to go back to bed. That's what a GOP hearing is, if the GOP hearing is not backed up by anything tangible that hurts. I can walk in the room and half yell at my sons 1,000 times. They're going to keep staying up. I walk in one time and say, okay, guess who's grounded? You don't get to hang out with your friends this weekend. Sorry. I all of a sudden will stop having problems of the boys staying up. Human beings need punishment. I wish we didn't. I wish it wasn't the case. If we are unwilling, if we on the right, if we are unwilling to visit fear and pain on the communists, we cannot win. It's not possible to win without them feeling pain. I know nursery rhyme conservatism has told you and me for the entirety of our lives that we can be better than that and blah, 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 and that's not who we are and all the lame things you've heard over and over and over and over and over again. But those things are antithetical to human nature. Human nature doesn't work that way. Dirty, evil communists are going to continue carpet bombing this culture until someone visits fear and pain on them. Legal fear and pain. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about anything illegal unless these people fear pain. Imagine this. Imagine the conversations that would be going on inside the walls of the FBI with FBI leadership right now, if Congress had just passed a bill, 50% reduction in costs in their budget. Not even what I want, 100%. You know what? Forget about that. Forget 50. 10. If Congress had just taken 10% of the FBI's budget away, there would be an all-hands-on-deck meeting with the FBI. What do we do? Oh my gosh, this is a disaster. We didn't cut 10 cents. Why would they change? And we're not done with all this punishment stuff. We'll get to more of those things. First, I need to address this Clay and Buck situation. Obviously, this is going to get pretty heated. I'm going to try to make sure it doesn't get too personal, but we're going to address that here in a moment. Before I address that, let's address Done For You Real Estate. Let's address you and me. You know what would be a really cool legacy? Something I think about a lot now is, what am I actually going to hand my sons? What am I going to hand them when I die? What do they get from me? What do they get that lasts? You know that people who have worked with Done For You Real Estate, they've handed these rental homes down to their kids as not only guaranteed income, as a legacy from dad and mom. When you start acquiring these rental properties, this is for normal people to start acquiring properties, you're not only acquiring lasting wealth, it's something to pass on. Isn't that freaking cool? And Done For You Real Estate's passionate about that. They've been mentioned at people's funerals. That's how passionate they are. Go to doneforyoujesse.com and find out what they can do. They'll find you the properties, they handle the closing, the financing, let them handle it all. They do it all for you. doneforyoujesse.com. All right? All right. It's time to address this Clay and Buck situation. Next.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.